Wait, you want to give them 20% off now? 20% off? And free shipping? Wow, okay, all right. What's up, y'all? Today's episode of Chicken Dinner brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming and the champions of the world. Brand new lawnmower 4.0, better than ever. 90 seconds, you're done. Zip, zap, it's over, and you are ready to rock, and you are ready to roll. And it's time to get everything in order. You got to take care of the goods. We've talked about this. Promo code is BAWK, B-A-W-K, BAWK, 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 BAWK. That's the code. You pop it in on manscaped.com, 20% off and free shipping. And I'll tell you what, it's going to save you so much time, and the ladies will love it. Do yourself a solid. Make the me time the best time, and enhance your confidence below the waist. Manscaped.com, promo code BAWK, B-A-W-K. Let's go.
You are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
There was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner Friday, July 9th, 2021. Follow us on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, Instagram at ChickenDinnerSP, and subscribe. Smash the button so you get this clucker once it goes live. We will talk to Barstool Big Cat later on in the show. Stepping in front of streaks, good or bad. Pardon my take, dream guests. And how does Dan define Maction? It's not easy. I think I stumped him. I think I did. He came through eventually, but it's not easy to define Maction. How many times have you bet a Maction game on a Tuesday night? There's 2,500 fans in the stands. Your team has a 10-point lead. You're laying one, and somehow you lose in the final 2 minutes with a 10-point lead. It's happened to me multiple times. Big Cat loves the Mac. Loves it. So a long conversation with Dan Katz coming up later on in the show. We have to, before we get into the Bucks and Suns NBA Finals, DraftKings did it again. They posted splits yesterday for Sunday afternoon's Euro Championship between England and Italy, and it's getting out of hand. And I think that a lot of people, unfortunately, don't really know what's going on. People that bet every day, people that bet for a living, you know how bad these splits are. Some of you that are novices, this is bad. When you see this, run away. DraftKings was dealing England to win minus 135. Italy to win minus 120. A 55-cent line to win the Euro. You know that you can't have both sides favored. I could see minus 110 each way. I could see minus 115, minus 105. But you can't have minus 135 and minus 120. That is robbery. It's robbery. And you need to understand that. Any favorite, minus 120 or higher, the other side has to be plus. It has to. That's the way this works. Unless you're at Intralot in Montana or Washington, D.C., and you deal bullshit every day. Minus 125 has to be plus 105. Minus 130 should be plus 110. Minus 135 should be plus 115. And DK's dealing minus 135, minus 120 for multiple hours. So I have to tweet this out. I'm like, what are we doing? I get a tweet, a response from DraftKings CX team, which is apparently their customer support, at DK underscore assist. Thanks for bringing this error to our attention, Sam. We tossed you a little gift for the heads up. Enjoy. This is not an error. You guys were hanging this for hours. How does somebody not notice this? I'm not buying error. Also, I didn't get a gift. I don't bet with DraftKings. Nor do I want a gift. What I want you to do going forward is give the customers a fair shake. That's what I want. minus 135, minus 120 in the Euro Championship. Give me a break. Give me a break. I'm tired of this. I texted one Vegas bookmaker the screenshot. And he said, well, that's what happens when you spend $1 million on a commercial. You don't have any more money. You got to make it up on the customer. Whatever. Just be careful. Get the right price. And if you see minus 135 and minus 120, run away. Bucks are down 0-2 going back to Milwaukee. And yeah, we had the Bucks. Took the five. Took the money line, plus 170. Felt good after the first quarter. Felt fine at half. Fourth quarter, it gets away again. Suns hit 23-pointers. That never happens. Never. Third time in the history of the NBA Finals, a team has hit 23-pointers in a game. And it was still a six-point game with 5 minutes to go. We're catching five. I don't hate the handicap. How about this, too? Game one, Phoenix in the over. Game two, Phoenix in the over. It's that easy. Favorite, over, parlay'em. It's that easy. Books getting crushed in the finals already. Hey, long way to go. And for game three, the market opened Milwaukee -3.5. Quickly hit up to four. And the total, I don't know if you're paying attention here, it is getting more expensive to go over. Game one total opened about 218, 218 and a half. Game two total opened 220 and a half. Game three total opened 222. That was the first number I saw, 222 and a lot of 222 and a half. So you've seen a pretty nice hike up from game one to game three because the books are going to adjust. Both games go over. Now it's going to be tougher for you to win on the over. A little bit of value on the under. I think these are correlated sides and totals either way. If you like Milwaukee at all in the series, you probably like the under. If you like Phoenix, you probably like the over. I don't think it's going to be as simple as Phoenix in four, although some people were betting Suns in four because of that guy that knocked out the Nuggets fan. 8-1 or 9-1, Suns in four. I don't think the Suns sweep. I also don't think the Suns are invincible. We'll see what happens. It's not a series until the home team loses. And this feels like a load-up spot on the Bucks. I'm not going to get crazy. You guys know I don't get crazy. Bucks -4 for the game makes a lot of sense. But how about the shade in the first half and the first quarter lines? First half as high as Bucks -3.5. Whoa! The game is four. First half, 3.5. First quarter, Bucks -2.5. See, in the past, I would come out firing. Bucks game, Bucks first quarter, Bucks first half. Problem is, Bucks can win the game by 8, but be tied after the first quarter and down at half. I like the long play, the 48-minute play, more than I like getting real weird and going quarter or half. I just don't play quarters and halves, usually. So I'm not going to start now. I think a lot of people get in trouble this way. They take a team that's down 0-2 in a series or down 0-3, and they're like, well, they got to do it in this game. I don't know. Be careful. I would argue you're getting shaded to death first quarter, first half. In an NFL football game, when a team is a six-point favorite for the game, the first half line is usually half of the spread. If a team's a six-point favorite, they're a three-point favorite in the first half. But now you're looking at Bucks -4 for the game and -3.5 for the first half. I don't know. And here's a spot where I think the money line is relatively cheap. I would lay $2 on the Bucks to win game three, just to win. Market open -170. You see some 175. I don't hate the money line. I might go Bucks -4, Bucks money line. They're due. And role players, as you know, play better at home. Middleton should be a lot better in game three. And the key for Milwaukee to do anything in this series, they need to find a way to get Jrue Holiday going. He was awful in game one. He was okay in game two. But all those role players that helped the Suns win games one and two, they will depreciate a bit on the road, and you would expect the Milwaukee supporting cast to play better. And here's a series price that I'm also thinking about. Shop around. You could find the Bucks 4-1 to win this series. I think they win game three, and I think there's a very good chance this series is 2-2 after four. And I promise you at that point, 4-1 will not be available. There's a rumor around college basketball about Illini big man Kofi Coburn transferring to Kentucky. A lot has changed in Champaign. We know the Big Ten really well. We know the Illini really well. Two of their top assistants are gone. Orlando Antigua, he is now the associate head coach at Kentucky. He went to work under John Calipari. Cal also pulled away Chin Coleman, who I used to work with at UIC. He was the coach of the Mac Irvin Fire. He was a head coach at Morgan Park, and he went from UIC down to Illinois. Those two were vital in bringing Coburn to Champaign. Underwood's the coach, but he's not the recruiter. So now Kofi's recruiters are both in Lexington. So there's been this rumor about Coburn going to Kentucky. He opted out of the NBA draft, and he has entered the transfer portal. My buddy Matt Stanek put me onto this. He tweeted at me, actually, at Linebreaker7. You can follow him there. Kofi going to Kentucky, .. 18-1. And then he slapped the emoji on there. So what can we do? Well, we talked about this 2 months ago when I heard rumblings of Remy Martin transferring to Kansas. It wasn't official, but we heard from multiple people it was likely going to happen. And I said, hey, the Jayhawks are 18-1 to win the title. If they get Remy Martin, an electric, good ball-handling guard that can shoot it from three and the free throw line and get to the basket, they're going to be very, very good. Let's take a peek at the Kentucky title odds. You know they got talent. You know they do. They haven't won one in a while. 2012, I think, last one with Davis and Gilchrist. Kentucky at DraftKings right now, 12-1. Points bet, 14. FanDuel, 16. MGM, 18. William Hill, hey, 20-1. So by shopping around, you make yourself, on a $100 bet, you make yourself $800 extra dollars just by betting at the right shop. I bet $100 at DraftKings and the Kentucky Wildcats win the title, I win $1,200. But if I bet that $100 at William Hill, I win $2,000. Always be shopping. And I'll tell you what, if Coburn officially transfers, I'm hearing that's very possible, 20-1 ain't going to be available. And that's a promise. So you're betting the right team at the right price ahead of an expected move. Home Run Derby. I love this. It's a crapshoot. Everybody knows that. Points bets opening odds. I saw their market first. Ohtani 3-1. Gallo plus 350. Alonso plus 450. 9-2. Soto 5-1. Story 6-1. Olsen 750. And they have Mancini and Perez 10-1. Now their odds haven't changed one bit. And always shop around for your best player. Some books have Alonso at 550. Some books have Ohtani at 350. You know, like the prices are different. They're all gas stations and they're all dealing different amounts. For some reason, I am drawn towards Alonso. He won it in 19. And he's the type of home run hitter that's built for contest play because he locks in, he gets in grooves, and he pops homer after homer after homer. I found Alonso as high as, like I said, plus 550. I think he should be the favorite in the setting. You're going to pay the tax on Ohtani. You know that because he's the AL MVP frontrunner and he's the best player right now in baseball. Gallo is also very dangerous because you think about the way Gallo hits the baseball. I remember covering some games against the Rangers when they came into Chicago and played on the south side. Gallo hits the highest balls I've ever seen. He doesn't hit 500-foot home runs. He hits them 5 million feet in the air. He hits what we call wall scrapers. Like, he hits pop-ups that go over the wall if it was the green monster on the right side of Fenway. He would hit 80 home runs if there was a monster in right field in Texas. So it's dangerous to go against Gallo because of the uppercut and the way that that ball's going to carry at Coors Field. So that explains why the math guys have him on the two line. But I like Alonso, plus 450 at PointsBet and 5-1, 550 at other places. McGregor-Poirier, round three. McGregor opened as the favorite. I was talking with Nicky Kalikas over at Circa. He opened McGregor minus 120. Circa now has Poirier minus 140. Kalikas said it's been nothing but money on Poirier. Big bets, max bets, sharp and public. But here's the catch. The market's going to move again on Saturday. So my advice to you in this fight is simple. If you like Conor McGregor, bet plus 120 or plus 15 right now, because that's the best price you're going to get. The McGregor money comes in droves day of the fight. I remember living in Vegas. I remember this vividly, watching the screen, how McGregor's line would move 30 cents, 40 cents day of the fight, because a lot of people bet McGregor. A lot of them flock into Vegas. A lot of them Irish guys, accents, flags, they're out there having a blast in Vegas, and they're betting McGregor, and they're drinking their beer, and they're having a great old time. They love to bet on their native son. So you will see money on McGregor. I've talked to many bookmakers who tell me that the day of the fight, they're writing 65-70% of their bets on McGregor. There's a difference between bets and money. As you know, bets is the amount of tickets they write. Money is the cash, the amount of cash that comes in. But more tickets leading up to the main event on Saturday will be written on Conor McGregor. That's a promise. So if you like McGregor, I would say take the plus price while it's still hanging there for you. There's a very good chance this fight closes minus 110 each way. So if you like McGregor, I would attack now. If you like Poirier, just wait. Poirier minus 140 at Circa, like I said. It's not going to be minus 140 night of the fight. Pretty strong feeling about that, given the way the market tends to move toward McGregor on fight Saturday. I was talking about Olympic markets on one of our prior shows, and I don't see a lot yet at any of the American books. I don't see anything in the Nevada books either. But the Olympic markets at Ladbrokes in Europe are starting to get more expansive. I found the following markets. Nation to win the most medals, USA, 1 to 25, or for you American odds guys, minus 2,500. Nation to win the most goals, USA, 1 to 10, or minus 1,000. And here's where they go next level. Total number of medals for country X, total number of golds for country X. And Ladbrokes has all these countries, USA, China, Japan, Great Britain, Germany, France, Australia, Norway, Belgium, Colombia, Denmark, Finland, Netherlands, Spain. It goes on and on and on. So if I just click, here we go. Number of medals for Norway, over under 7.5. Number of medals for Italy, over under 32.5. The more candy in the candy store, the more likely you are to leave with candy. And I'm telling you what, this USA number at Ladbrokes is too high. Ladbrokes is dealing right now USA gold medals over under 46.5. Under minus 50, over plus 10, 46.5. That's a solid play because there are some offshore shops and some bookies that are dealing 43.5. I know guys that bet a lot of money under 46.5 in other areas. And we talked about this, I think it was last show, about the swimming. USA Swimming, for 20 years, you've been able to pencil them in for 14, 16 gold medals. Swimming, not as strong. USA has gotten weaker. Other countries have gotten stronger. And I know people that have a lot of money on under 46.5 gold medals. Ladbrokes still has that number. Other markets are down to 43.5. Just something to think about. I'm not in a rush to bet against my country, but I also like money. So I guess that's for you to decide what you want to do. Last thing, before we get to Barstool Big Cat, there is a lot of liability on Charles Barkley to finish top 70 in this celebrity golf tournament. David Purdom, great writer. If you don't read him, add him to your list, ESPN.com/chalk. I'll give you the tidbits here. So the American Century Championship, which actually opens up today, Friday, so you can't really bet this, and by the time you listen, it may already be underway. But Caesars Sportsbook was offering a yes-no prop on whether Barkley will finish in the top 70 at the tournament. 89 golfers in the field. 89, that's it. The price, a top 70 finish, yes, plus 1,600. And that's been bet all the way down to 4-1. Purdom reported 99% of the money on the prop was on the yes, that Barkley would make the top 70, including a $1,900 bet on the yes at 14-1 that would pay out a net $26,600. They're betting Barkley big. And he's 7,500-1 to win the tournament. Tony Romo's the favorite, plus 150. I saw Mark Mulder was in the field, former A's pitcher, 4-1. But that's how much money has been bet on Barkley. 99% of the handle. Isn't that on the chicken dinner notepad? The public underdog usually gets put down. You know Barkley's going to finish 71st or 72nd. And of course, Barkley comes out and says, I'm playing great. I'm feeling well. Here's the quote from Purdom. I'm playing really, really well. I actually started playing well here. Well, last year, he finished 69th at the tournament. They had a 70-player field, so he was second to last. You know what the books need? They need Barkley to not finish top 70. Joining us on Chicken Dinner, he is on the Mount Rushmore of Barstool Sports. He is the co-host of the number one sports podcast in the world, Pardon My Take, and he rejoins us now on the show. For the first time in about 4 years, 4 years ago, Barstool Big Cat, Dan Katz, you told me your first sports bet was on a turtle race in what, Daytona, I think?
Key West, Florida. I forgot I was on the show, Sam. I apologize. That has nothing to do with our friendship. That's more, we were just talking before we started. Now that I have two children, I just have memory lapses that I just miss stuff. Like, I just have things that just go by, and I'll be like, wow, I just completely missed that. So, it's good to be back on the show. And yes, it was a turtle race. I won $100 in Key West, Florida when I was like 12 years old.
Nice save by you. Nice save. I knew you were a diehard Chicken Dinner fan when you texted me a picture of the shirt I sent you. Wrinkled, balled up. It was in your big wall at Office 2.0.
So
you're like, hey, look what I found. I'm like, I sent that to you 2 years ago.
Don't feel that bad, because the worst thing that I found in the pile was when we were moving offices in 2019, I opened up a box, and it was a kid from who was a student manager on the Illinois basketball team had sent me tickets to the Thanksgiving Classic or whatever at the Barclays in 2017. So there were tickets from 2 years before that I just had never opened it. So that's the worst thing I opened in the pile. So you don't even make the top two on that. So that was really bad, where I was like, oh, well, these tickets aren't worth anything. It was, the event happened 2 years ago.
I'm done being amazed for the most part at the interactions you have with popular athletes and actors and movie stars and all that shit. Like, I'm not really amazed that much anymore, because you've done so well and you network so well and you're so fucking likable. But I had an example recently, man. It blew me. I had to sit down. Tom Brady says that Barstool Big Cat has Madden codes. What planet are we on, dude?
That one was weird. I also think I never know with Twitter. Like, I think I've learned enough that Twitter, I just assume that someone else is tweeting from these accounts. So I've taken a step back with Twitter. Like, if someone big tweets at me, I don't really get excited, but I don't get like super excited. I'm like, that's probably like Tom Brady. If you saw him on the street, and you said, hey, remember that tweet? He'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about right now. So the face-to-face interactions are always the ones that, like, I cherish. But the tweets, they're cool. But I always do assume that someone else is tweeting those things. Someone savvy, younger, who's tweeting at me for that stuff.
You and PFT have talked about this multiple times, about, you know, your unicorns or your golden gooses, you know, the guests you really want to get on the show. Do you have, like, a top two or top three updated?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is still up there. I think he might be my number one. I just want to, like, my first five questions will just be like, why are you the way that you are? But he might retire from football. So, he might not even be worth having on anymore, because I hope he just finds peace and retires. I'm trying to think who else is on there. Kevin Durant still, we're chasing him. There are obviously guys, like, I would love to interview LeBron James. I think there is 0.0.0% chance that LeBron James would ever come on Part of My Take. But yeah, there's a few out there still. I'd say Aaron Rodgers and Kevin Durant are the two that pop in my mind right away, where I'm like, oh, and I'll throw in Vince McMahon too. I'd love to talk to Vince McMahon. That one, though, is an interesting one, because I don't know if he would give us, like, any true stories, or if he would even reveal anything. But if you could get a real interview with Vince McMahon, I think that would be incredible.
Let's talk a little gambling here, because this is a gambling show. How much money would you have lost in 2014? I'll give you 1.5 World Series titles for the Cubby Corps. How much would you have fucking lost on the over?
Wait, now that wasn't a gambling question. That was a dig at the Cubs for what is – you're right, okay? And you don't want me to come on here and say that you're right? You're right. Like, this core has been squandered a little bit, but it still doesn't matter. It's still – like, I think in the moment right now, as we're talking, 2021, it's disappointing. But in 20 years, I don't think that anyone will look back and be like, man – it's disappointing. Like, it's kind of the 85 Bears, right? Like, people, I know that there is a discussion they should have won more, but it almost, like, elevates the one that they did win. So I know what you're doing. Yes, I agree that the Cubs should have won more, but they went to what? What was it, 3 straight NLCSs? I mean, baseball is a crapshoot. Baseball, for my money, it's the hardest sport, like, to win the whole thing, because there's just a lot of weird, quirky things that can happen along the way. So, I don't know. Don't make me feel bad. I know what you're doing. Don't make me feel bad.
I thought it was a fair question. You're like the vice president of the Overs Club. You would have bet a lot of money on the over, and, dude, I would have,
yeah,
too. I would have, too.
Of course. Of course. Now, let me flip it on you. The 2021 White Sox are kind of like the 2015 Cubs. Like,
yes.
It's not 2014 Cubs. 2014 Cubs were still terrible. I think I went to, like, 50, 60 games that year. They were really bad. This year is the 2015 Cubs for the White Sox. How many World Series is this core going to win for the White Sox?
I mean, if the number's 0.5, I go over. If the number's 1.5, I go under.
Because it's impossible. It's hard to win titles. Like, that's the reality of it. I think that you would take one right now. Like, even if they went to 3 ALCSs and they only won one, you'd still be pretty happy, right?
100%. It's just, I think, looking back, somebody asked me the other day about a bet. There's a bet right now at the Westgate in Las Vegas. You've been to the Superbook. Super Bowl titles for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they have to win 2 in the next, like, 9 seasons. And, A, I would never lock up my money for 9 seasons, but, man, it's hard to win the Super Bowl. And I think we know, when you pay a quarterback $1,000,000,000, it's hard to keep everything else on the rails. But that's an actual bet right now. How many more titles will the Chiefs win by 2031? The number is 1.5.
You know, it's those bets are impossible. And I would lean over just because of Patrick Mahomes. But you're right. Like, for the Chiefs to win 2 more in the next 9 years, they will have to reinvent themselves. Like, all the guys that are on the Chiefs right now that are great, like, Patrick Mahomes will outlast all of them. So what are they going to do? Are they going to nail their drafts again? Are they going to be able to reload around Patrick Mahomes? I always think back to, like, the Golden State Warriors. You ended up winning 3 titles, right? But everyone thought that they were going to win the next 10 titles. Everyone had said, like, the NBA is done. Like, it's over. No one's going to stop them. What happens? Injuries, free agency, like, all these things happen. And so I as much as I think Patrick Mahomes is that special, you'd have to be crazy to take two because you never know what's going to happen.
A lot of juice on the over, too. I think an even better comparison is Seattle with Russell Wilson. When you look at that team, the Legion of Boom, and Wilson on the rookie contract, you think, wow, they're going to win at least two or three. So I think it's a fair comparison, and I agree with you. I wouldn't put it down.
What would you say, like another one? Here, I'm going to say this one because this one will get back to people that we hate. If Aaron Rodgers, if he had said in 2010, how many Super Bowls after he wins a Super Bowl? You would have definitely said he would win a couple more. He hasn't won another one. He hasn't been to another one. So it's just sports are that hard to predict, and it's humbling when you do try to predict it. You gamble on it. It humbles you every single day. So, I mean, they're fun discussions, but it's just crazy to think about how hard it is to win.
There have been lessons, Danny, I've learned in life that I haven't learned in gambling life, and I think you know what I mean. Like, I knew never to take candy from a stranger. But when UC Santa Barbara pops up on my feed on Saturday night, I got to take the 12. You know what I mean? My latest problem is when a baseball team has lost six in a row, I'm like, they can't lose seven. Or when a hockey team loses 10 in a row, I'm like, they can't lose 11. Yes, they can.
Yeah, you can't hop into mid. Like, it's like getting in the middle of, hot game of dice. Like, you can't hop in the middle. You have to have either been there from the start or just let it ride and marvel at it. I had one, and now I'm blanking on the team. It was, I want to say, was it UTSA basketball? I think they covered like 14 straight a couple years ago, and I got in at like 3 or 4, and it was awesome because you just wrote out. You know, another one was the Blackhawks. Remember the Blackhawks? It was either last year or the year before, first period overs. That one ripped off like 17 out of 18, and I was early on that. But when you see a team on a streak, whether good or bad, you can't try to get in front of it. You just can't because it never works that way. It's exactly the same as walking up to a roulette wheel and seeing black 25 times and being like, all right, I'm throwing it on red, and then it's black for the 26th time. Or, you know, the other way around, like, you can't do it. You just have to sit back. If you miss it, you miss it, and just watch it play out.
We had a teacher in high school. His name was Mr. Foster, and he taught me a lot about how patterns are bullshit. He gave us a 50-question test. It was true or false. Tell me how all the answers are true on this test. But as a human being, you know, you get to 7 or 8, you're like, these all can't be true. So then you start erasing 3 and 7 and 9, and now you got to have at least 13 falses. All the answers were true.
No, you know what? That guy was bullshit. Because you tell me, like, on a Sunday, on an NFL Sunday, if every game goes over, Sunday Night Football is going under. Like, it is. So that guy's bullshit. He's never gambled. He doesn't know. No, that makes no sense.
Okay. Home Run Derby. Have you handicapped the Home Run Derby yet? I don't know if there is much of a handicap. I kind of like Pete Alonso. I saw Barstool Sportsbooks got about 5-1 on Alonso. Have you thought about anybody yet? I mean, you got a couple days, but anything?
I mean, I probably – this the Home Run Derby is definitely in the category of, like, I'm going to just bet with my heart, and my heart is, like, Shohei Ohtani putting on a show and having it be his weekend. Because, you know, he's doing the DH and pitching in the actual All-Star game and in the Home Run Derby. So I'll probably do that just because when it's not like a real sport, when you're betting on something like that, I'm really, truly betting on what I'm rooting for. And if I'm rooting for, say, the Cubs aren't in it, I'm rooting for the best story, and Shohei Ohtani is easily the best story.
If somebody that didn't know what Maction was and walked up to you on the street and said, Dan, what's Maction? How would you answer that?
That's a really tough question. I would probably say, you put me on the spot there. I can't really put it into words. I'm just trying my best, but I just want it on the record. My answer really is you can't put it into words. It's more a feeling than anything. It's a feeling. It's a feeling. You know what? It's a feeling of unknown on a school night. That's what it is. The feeling of the unknown on a school night. You know, when you just had like, oh, who knows what's going to happen? Like, shouldn't be doing this. Shouldn't be watching this game. Like, it really makes no sense. This football's not great, but you never know what's going to happen. So I'm watching anyway. That's what matches.
I've lost two games, Dan, outright. I had a 10-point lead with 50 seconds to go. I lost both.
Western Michigan game.
You remember.
Yeah, I had it. You don't forget those. That's matching, though. Like, the reason why I truly love matching, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but the start of the best stretch of the year when you hit that, like, first game of matching, and then there's that stat, like, the next 50 days on the calendar have a football game, and it's like, all right, this is incredible. So when matching starts, like, there's nothing better. But I love it because of that stupid, like, unpredictability where, yeah, that Western Michigan game, that was brutal. But you've also had it go the other way where it's helped you. And you just kind of put your hands up and you're like, that's Maction, baby. Like, you know that no one's going to kick a field goal. You know that there's going to be fumbles. You know there's going to be at least two just absurd interceptions that make no sense. And all of it is beautiful. And it feels like really what it comes down to is Maction always feels like it's like a little private club that we're in. Because let's be honest, like, there's a lot of people who watch NFL Sunday. There's a lot of people who watch college football game of the week. There's not as many people who watch Tuesday and Wednesday night when they're playing, you know, in Ohio or Indiana or Northern Illinois. Like, those games are special, and it feels like you're in a private club, people who really earn their stripes.
How much do you love creating your own bets at the sportsbook?
It's fun. There's some pressure, though. It's fun. I mean, the one thing that sucks is, like, people won't believe us. Dave and I, like, we are always advocating for the player because we're players ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, we've always gambled. We've been gamblers for a very long time, so it's all authentic in that respect. And, like, so I want people to win. I know that, you know, I want people to have a good time. So it's always tough, but it is fun to make. To come up with, like, crazy bet ideas. And, like, I think I remember when we did the buzzer beaters. That was the worst. We did the buzzer beater promo for March Madness, which was an awesome promo. It was every single round you could bet, like, over 1.5 buzzer beaters. I betted every single round except, of course, the Final Four. And then when does the only buzzer beater happen? The Final Four with that shot of Gonzaga beating UCLA.
I think it was last month, the Big Yabo, right? That's the home runs for Saturday and Sunday. And I think the Big Yabo was like 69.5, and it went over on Sunday night, and you were going nuts.
It was incredible. And actually, that's the real answer. So the real downside to, like, coming up with my bet ideas is, like, people think that we come up with the odds, like Dave and I come up with the odds. We don't. Like, one, we're not smart enough. Two, we just don't. Like, that's not how it works. So we'll come up with the idea, and then someone else comes up with the odds. And then people will blame us for the odds because they perceive it as bad. And it's like, listen, we don't decide that stuff. Like, I had that Joe Carter bet, will there be a walk-off home run on Saturday or Sunday? And it was even money. And if you actually did the math, that was a good bet. But people couldn't wrap their head around there being a walk-off pretty much once every 2 days. So people would just bash me for it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to do this bet anymore because it's just not worth it. You know what I mean? Like, if people think that it's a bad bet, They're not gonna have fun, and it's not working.
Do you have any college football sleepers for me? This could be a win total over. This could be a team to win a conference. This could be Heisman Trophy. I'm all in on Matt Corral, 30-1 to win the Heisman at Ole Miss. Anything that you have looked at yet?
Well, I mean, I love Sam Howell. I have loved Sam Howell, UNC, for the last couple of years. I guess it's just UNC quarterbacks. I got something for him. Their season, like, he could win the Heisman if he beats Clemson, right? It kind of comes down to just that. I know they've lost a lot of skill positions this year, so it might be tough. I do think, even though I'm biased, I do think Wisconsin's going to have a good football season this year. And I do think Graham Mertz, like, learned a lot. That opening game, Wisconsin versus Illinois, when they kicked the shit out of him, and then they beat Michigan, and then, like, the whole team had COVID, and it was a whole thing. And the wheels kind of came off the season. I don't know. I just think they're going to be a lot better this year, and they're going to surprise people.
10-1 to win the Big Ten right now.
Hey, if you think that they can get there to Indy, like, then you probably have a hedge opportunity, because if they get to Indy against Ohio State, I don't know, maybe they wouldn't be, maybe they would be probably like 10-point underdogs. But when Wisconsin plays Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, usually it's not that big of a spread. It's not like when Ohio State plays Northwestern, it's a 21-point spread or something. Like, so there would be an
6.5
edge. Yeah, 7. Yeah, right, 7.5. So, there would be a chance to hedge out if you went 10-1 on the Badgers to win the Big Ten.
Okay. One final question, and this is, you know, take this wherever you want. You know, people love to go behind the curtain at Barstool, and I know you've got a camera in your face every day, but I think a lot of moments, they're not on camera, and that's when you and PFT and Hank and you guys, you put together the show. It doesn't have to be in person. It could be over the group thread. What's the best part about getting those shows and putting them together? What's your favorite part about that process?
So we usually, when we're getting ready to do the show, we'll be sitting in the studio, and it's funny because we'll naturally just start doing the show without the camera rolling. So we'll have to constantly be like, hey, save it for the show, save it for the show. But those moments when we're able to, like, we know we've hit on something, so it's like, hey, don't stop this conversation right now so we can restart it on the show. That's always fun. And it's just, there's a lot of things about my job that, like, I mean, I'm working all the time and I understand that, but, like, I really truly have the best job in the world. And I know that. Like, I know that there's not a day that goes by that I don't thank God that I have that, because it is. And I know all the moments where I'm basically able to just sit around and shoot the shit. And, like, there are a lot of those. Like, I at the end of the day, my job comes down to basically, you know, watching sports and busting balls. Couldn't really ask for anything better than that.
Well said. Follow on Twitter at Barstool Big Cat at Pardon My Take. So happy for you. You know I'm proud of you, even though we don't see each other all that much anymore. And I'll tell you what, man, I will never forget you getting me out of Vegas and putting me in touch with the right people, man. You guys took me out of a bad situation, and I'll forever be grateful for that.
I love it, Sammy, and I'm down to come on for a third time. I will remember this time so that when I come back on, it's a third time. And we can maybe come to New York and we'll do it in person.
How about when the White Sox win the pennant, you come back on?
Okay. All right. That's, I mean, that was, so that's going to be like 2045 or something.
Fuck
I'll,
you.
I'm in.
See you, Dan.
All right. See you, man. Thank you.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Barstool Big Cat for hopping on the show. And you heard him. He'll be back whenever the White Sox win the pennant. Record check, 154, 150, and 5. Bucks lose, Bucks don't cover, we lose a little bit. -2.7 right now all around, and nothing in the hopper yet, but I imagine there will be a plan for Sunday's Game 3 in the NBA Finals. On Chicken Dinner next week, PTO, no shows. I'm leaving the laptop at home. We will see you back here on July 20th. As always, good luck, cash some tickets, make some money, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks right here on Chicken Dinner. So you'll be the greatest man alive when I'm gone. So there's music in the